Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Some format as to how the show is conducted.
The show is a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Bless us and praise his holy name, our souls, and all that lives within us in order to go through these lesson procedures. Also, it's our intent as student lead investigators, Cartrell from New York City, Sasha Hood from Detroit, Michigan, Ezekiel from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Sister Yakira from Hawaii, and yours truly, Yam Su. As I intend to give you a bird's eye view, a critical analysis and assessment, burn the midnight oil, so to speak. Leave no stone or leaf unturned, cross every T and dot every I. Why? To come to some conclusion about the great Almighty. See, we can give you these academic studies, but it's up to you to put it to work. It's no good for us to give you these academic studies and you just put them on the table or put them on the back burner. You must utilize these academics in order to become proficient in your relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with one another, so to speak. Because truth be told, our relationships are toxic, trashy, and messy, and so on and so forth when it comes to the Most High. And certainly when it comes to one another. Another procedure in these studies. If you're a new student, don't raise your hand before you hit a lesson plan. Do you go to a college and you start raising your hand before the professor starts speaking? Please don't do that. Let the subject matters and the lesson be presented. After the presentation, you will be allotted time to speak your mind and hear your say. And what we don't do is, we don't argue, fuss, and fight, and cuss. You wouldn't do it in the halls of academia, and you certainly won't do it on the Real Talk for Real People show. This is a show for discourse and discussion. This is a show for reasonability, not to cuss, fuss, and fight, and sometimes kill one another. We don't have time for that. We are duty-bound and morally obligated to bring the best that we got about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we're about to do that. But before we get started in our studies, I'd like to make some comments on contemporary subject matters. Sleepy Joe Biden had a slip of the tongue today during a news presentation. He all been said to the Russians, yeah, you can go on in, because the question presented to him was, hey, you think Russia going to go in there, Ukraine? Yeah, probably he'll. I know the Ukrainians are not happy right now. Sleepy Joe, you talk too much. As my grandbaby said, me do too much. She, like my grandbaby trying to say, you doing too much, but she don't know how to say it, you doing too much. She needs to say, me do too much. So, Smokey Joe Biden, me do too much. Slow it down. Stay in your lane. And Donald J. Trump has got some news from the Supreme Court. Give it up. Turn it loose. Yes, he had to give up all the information that the committee wants that is investigating January 6th. So he has to give it up and turn it loose. It's true. Praise God. So let me bring on Sister Hootie from Detroit, Michigan. Sister Hootie, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom and all blessings. People who are listening, hope you study. I praise the Most High. You know, and you too, and your family.
Thank you, sister. Appreciate that. You and your family also.
Okay. Yeah, me. Yep, they're doing better. No COVID. They're doing okay.
That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Good to hear.
Yep. And I thank the Most High for that, that he gave me the knowledge to do the best I can in feeding them when they were little. And health is so important, isn't it? We have to do the best we can and be continuing. Even though, sure. You know, we want our little ice cream sometime, and right. Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. But you're right. Health is important, Sister Julie. And we take so little interest and I help. We like to go to the doctors after the fact instead of having these pre health-related exercising and eating and so on and so forth. We like to kill ourselves, then run to the doctor, expect him to solve our problems.
Yeah, perform a miracle.
Exactly, for all intents and purposes.
Because we eat, we consume too much food in the first place, and the wrong kind of food, and we eat too much meat. No one's saying you got to be a vegetarian, no. Like
right.
I said, I'm going to get my cheeseburger. I ain't got it yet, but I'm going to get it.
All blessed. Enjoy your. Hey, have you tried that turkey burger?
You know, turkey has really turned me off. I don't know what it is. I've had turkey chop, turkey burger, turkey sausage, turkey bacon.
Right.
Now, I would eat a beef bacon quicker than I would turkey bacon.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, but it's all good.
Why does is beef similar in nature? Is beef bacon similar in nature to the pork bacon? Similar in the density?
No, you don't want to eat it. No.
Oh, okay.
So your pork,
okay.
You got fat.
Right.
That's what makes the flavors that fat.
Right.
That's why when you cook steak after you cook it, because the juice is getting, then you slice off, you're not going to eat the fat, you know.
Right.
When you talk about, right quick, contrary, you know, so many people out here are committing crimes, and I'm more concerned about our people. And this city county person that got caught embezzling, he was going to get 5 years. And guess what?
Right.
He's a minister, a preacher.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but the judge only gave him 2. But I was telling Ema, I don't feel sorry. Why take a bribe? We've been talking about that in the scriptures.
Right.
We just talked about that. I understand it could be tempting, but you got a job.
Exactly.
And you're not making pennies. You're not making like $1 million, but you're making more than me.
Exactly.
So I said, well, he got
at least he can have a decent hamburger, can't he?
Yes.
Thank you, sister. Cartrell from New York City. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family. Most High bless y'all. And bless y'all, all my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name, the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I hear y'all talking about that pork. That sound like you're reminiscing. But y'all know that bacon got that thick moisture in it.
No. Reason why I was saying that, I know how turkey bacon is. Turkey bacon is rather stiff. So I was saying for its density, it is like pork bacon, where it's more pliable. Because when you bake turkey bacon, I like it. And I like mine stiff. It's like cardboard. You know, it doesn't have that flexibility.
But you can crunch it up, though. That's the thing. If you said something, I forgot how you said it. The way you cook it, you can't cook turkey bacon where you can crunch it up. And it's not, you won't be pulling on it. I don't know how to explain it, but you can crumble it up real fine. Yeah.
Well, I bake mine ate the beef burger. I like the beef bacon. It has more flexibility. But when you cook turkey bacon, you have to bake turkey bacon.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of turkeys, we got 2, Donald Trump and Sleepy Joe Biden. And leadership in America has hit rock bottom. Because Teflon Don, he ain't so Teflon. And Sleepy Joe, he's sleeping at the wheel. But that ain't in our concern. We have to be concerned with our relationship with the Most High. And we're so grateful and thankful that the Most High gives us the opportunity, especially here in Cell Block 10550, for us, you know, be enlightened, to be inspired, to let us know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, a light at the end of the tunnel. Because y'all going to bring victory to these people, and all these wicked people who are so high and mighty, they got hell to pay from studies that we're studying. These nations are in trouble.
Exactly.
And we can't be in trouble with them.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
It's true, Contrail.
So we got to follow the poets and learn Yah as best as we can, learn what he has to say, and just follow in line, be his servants like he's supposed to be.
Praise Yah. Well, Contrail, Shahudi, if you're done with your commentaries, let's give him some codification in chapter 16 of Isaiah. Let me remind you, from chapter 15, chapter 16 is a continuum from that chapter, speaking to Moab. And one thing you have to know, it was in a time frame, and that time frame has passed, but there are a remnant of the Moabites left. We don't know who they are, we don't know where they are, but there's a remnant of them left. Because the Most High wants them to come to him anyway. He wants to give them an opportunity. Why? Because they're our family. If you don't know who the Moabite was and the Amnon, they were the daughters of Lot. They were, they were Lot's daughters. When they got it, their father in Nebri, because they thought the world was coming to an end, but they wanted to have children. So they got their father inebriated and commenced to do the nasty and produce Moab and Amnon, who've been a thorn in our side for so long because of the innate animosity they seem to have toward us. We studied that in the beginning. Of their innate animosity and continual animosity toward us. The Moabite tribe is not around per se as a nation, but there is a remnant of them left round about. We don't know who they are, what they are doing, but we know that the Most High want them to come to their senses and come to him. So let us get started in our study, shall we? Chapter 16, may the Most High bless us. Give us wisdom and understanding and direct and order our steps. Praise Yah. He says to Isaiah, dispatch as a messenger, the ruler of the land, from Shelah in the wilderness to the mount of Zion, like a fugitive birds, like fugitive, that's the Moabites. They were like fugitive birds, like nestlings driven away. Moab's villagers linger by the force of the Arnon. Give advice. Offer them counsel. At high noon, make your shadow like night. Conceal the outcasts. Conceal them. Betray not the fugitives. Let the Moab's outcasts find asylum in you. Be a shelter for them against the despoiler. For violence has vanished. Rapine has ended. And marauders have perished from this land. And a throne shall be established in goodness, in the tent of King David. And on it shall sit faithfulness, a ruler devoted to justice, and zealous for equity. We've heard of Moab's pride. Most haughty is he as a nation, of his pride and haughtiness and arrogance, and of the iniquity in him. Ah, let Moab howl, let all in Moab howl. For the raisin cakes of Kahar-Hrissi, which was the capital of Moab, you shall moan most pitifully. The vineyards of Hesperon, oh, wizard, the vines of Sheba. Now Shema, was a town given to the tribe and of Reuben. Did you hear me? The vineyards of Shema was a town given to the tribe of Reuben. That tendrils spread to Baal-Gaum and reached to Jazer, which is another Moab town, and strayed to the desert. Their shoots spread out and crossed the sea. Now, it suggests, infers, and implies that the remnant spread out and it crossed the sea. Wherever that sea is, wherever they spread out to, they got to get in. Therefore, as I weep for Jazaz, so I weep for Shemoth vines. O Hesbon and Elilah, I drench you with my tears. This is Yah speaking. He cares about the Moabites. End it are the shouts over your fig and grain harvest. You ain't got it going on anymore. Rejoicing and gladness are gone from the farmland. In the vineyards, no shouting or cheering is heard. No more does the treader tread wine in the presses. The shouts have been silenced by Yah. Therefore, like a lift, my heart moans for Moab. Even that being said, Most High heart moans for Moab. He had kinfolk. And my very soul for Kaharas. And when it became apparent that Moab had gained nothing in their outdoor strides by their gods, he shall come to pray in his temple. But to no avail, their gods can't help them. That is the word that Yah spoke concerning Moab long ago. Now Yah has spoken in 3 years at that time, fixed like the years of a high laborer. Moab's population, with all its huge multitude, shall shrink. Only a remnant shall be left and have no consequence. Our Moabite brothers, a remnant of them are left somewhere. We don't know who they are, where they are, but we know this whole thing. The Most High cares about them. They were haughty. They were worshiping other gods. And they were at us. They were thrown on our side. They were conspiring with other nations to destroy us. Even that being said, the Most High, he said, I'm shedding tears over you because y'all kinfolk, man. Why y'all got to do it like that? Why you didn't love your kinfolk, Israel, Yaqub, and let them in the land and whatnot? And y'all been at them custard. But even that being said, I'm going to destroy y'all. But I got a spot for you. It shows you the compassion of the Most High, not only for Israel, but for our Moabite and Amnon cousins. The Most High cares about everybody. But even though we are a peculiar people, we are the people that should have been his representatives here on this earth. And we dropped the ball. He still loves us too. But he has some love for our kinfolk too. Perhaps you should have some love for them. If the Most High has some love for the Moabites and Amnon, who are you? Perhaps you should too. Praise Yah. That being said, Katriel, Sushihuri, may the Most High bless you, direct you, and order your steps. Oh. You have the floor. You have the mics.
You were in chapter 17, correct?
No, chapter 16.
You were in chapter... Okay. That's why... Okay.
You need to hurry and get you a hamburger, because I think you brain stopped.
I need the protein, don't I?
You need to hurry up and get that hamburger, okay?
I had drifted a little bit, and I said, wait a minute, this don't sound like... Nah, look, I'm going old.
I mean, yeah, you could have excused me. You could have said, excuse me, Yum Soup. I would have took it. You could have said, excuse me, Yum Soup. I'm off reservation here. Where you at? I would say,
I'm going to say that next time.
Yeah, say that next time. No problem.
Go ahead, Dr. O, you got some. Let me read this right quick.
Well, Yasu said a mouthful. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Moab is our cousin, the Most High said we can't treat him like he treated us. We remember the story of Balaam and Balak, where Balak tried to curse us. And the donkey almost killed Balaam. Balaam almost killed his donkey because his donkey wouldn't go where he wanted him to go because he saw the angel waiting for him. But Moab been at us for a long time. And like my mother said, two wrongs don't make a right. So what does the Most High say? He said, cast your shadow like night at high noon. Mm-hmm. Hide the outcast. Do not betray the fugitive. Let the outcast of Moab stay with you. Be a hiding place to them from the destroyer. For the oppressor has come to an end and destruction has ceased. Oppressors have been removed from the land. So one day the Most High is going to give us the power to protect Moab. And guess what? We have to protect Moab. A lot of people try to say that Moab is the Chinese people. But I don't think so. Because the Chinese are not a small remnant. The Chinese are not a small remnant. But as the Most High said, that they would be a small and important remnant. And that ain't China. Sorry.
I agree with you.
But a lot of this is futuristic. The Most High is going to establish things. Like the oppressor is going to cease and be removed from the earth. A throne will be established in faithfulness. Faithfulness to who? the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And a judge will sit on it in trustworthiness in the tent of King David. Moreover, he will seek justice and be prompt in righteousness. That's what the earth needs. Truth, justice, and righteousness. They say truth, justice in the American way. No, the American way is Babylon way. Corruption, perversion, bloodshed. You want God's way. Justice and righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So we know more about that. And like Yamsu said, he took over portions of the land of Reuben. That's what happened when they sat down at the conference table and wanted to destroy us as a nation and divide up our land. They divvied it out. But having divvied it out, they haven't had peace in that land since.
Exactly.
The Middle East is still up here.
Okay. All right. So, Jody, do you have any commentary?
No, not at this time.
Katria, do you have any continued commentary?
I'm exhausted. No, that was, I'm done.
Okay. All right. Well, so, Jody, we're ready to move on with you to the next segment of study.
Proverbs 7.
Praise God.
I had to think about that one for a minute. I'm like,
okay. I guess you got that hamburger off your mind now. Huh?
I'm going to get that hamburger.
Anything better than burnt boiled egg.
Huh?
Anything's better than burnt boiled egg.
Oh, I'm tired of the semi-vegan diet. I'm okay now. Ugh. Yes, chapter 7. My son, guard my words. You know, yours may say different, but I say guard, which means the same thing. Do my words. And treasure up my commands with you. Guard my commands and live. And my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call understanding a close friend to guard you against the strange woman, against the foreigner who flatters with her words. For as the window of my house, I looked through my lettuce, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youth, a young man lacking heart, passing through the street near her corner. There's a couple of things in there. It's reiterating some things we talked about yesterday and day before. Don't let these women, we're talking about the eyelashes with the women, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And the makeup. Don't let the foreigner.
Well, yes, ma'am. If you excuse me, if you will allow me and permit me, I would like to say this could have a dual effect. It could be speaking of duality as far as nations are concerned. There are seductions, you want to be with them. And it can speak in terms of a more personal level, as far as women are concerned, and some trashy, knuckleheaded men are concerned. The onus is just not on the women. The onus is on a Jezebel nature, so to speak. And a man can have a Jezebel nature even though he a man. So like a woman can have a Jezebel nature. You got to stay away from them women ever on a personal level. Now, as far as a national level is concerned, a universal level, different nations, you're trying to emulate, we've been trying to emulate different nations, country, I always allude to the fact, especially in this Western Hemisphere. We're trying to keep up with the Joneses as far as this nation is concerned. It never has worked for us, it never will.
I'm about to read some of the things that you talked about. This is what happened to him. A young man's lacking heart, passing through the street near her corner. You hear that? Passing through the street near her corner. You know what I'm talking about. And he went the way to her house in the
five,
twilight.
I'll show you what to do. That's a call. 5 and 2, I'll show you what to do. They used to say that in the 70s.
In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And look, a woman met him, dressed like a whore, with a hidden heart. She was boisterous and stubborn. Her feet did not stay at her own house. Now in the street, now in the square. And at every corner, she lurks. And she took hold of him and kissed him.
So Shahuda, if I may, excuse me. You know what my mama used to tell me that time of night? Ain't nothing over but a liquor stores and hoes. Okay?
Mama. You're right. What I do is
and
call.
If I can.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like a militant. Women's lib movement, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Women's to meet him. Dressed as a prostitute. That's how they dress him now. And
mm-hmm.
cunning of heart. She's
mm-hmm.
boisterous. She's loud. She's rebellious. She won't listen to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Her feet do not remain at home. She ain't worried about being a mother and taking care of her children, raising
nope.
a family. She is now in the streets. That's where women want to be, in Babylon. Now in the public squares. They got so much to say in the public squares. And lurks by every corner. She could do what a man does. So she seizes him and kisses him. I went ahead, but
mm-hmm.
I'm
going to stop. That's okay. I'm explain to y'all. So, Katria, I know when I pause like that, you have an opening for a comment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But then, you know.
But your whole book is different from mine in
okay.
the beginning. And I wanted to point that out. Your book
but
says, guard my commandments. Guard my words. My book
mm-hmm.
says, keep my words and
mm-hmm.
keep my commandments. So anytime we hear the Most High say, keep my commandments or keep my words, we know that it means not just a frivolous word, but
nope.
keep means to guard,
mm-hmm.
to treasure.
That's why
and
I like to iterate, because I knew guard meant keep, but some people that's listening may not know. So I appreciate. Because I hear the same thing, even though the words are a little different, but some of us that are listening are not. Right?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
So keeping and guarding, right? It's like when your grandmother gives you the family jewels. She tells you to keep this for me. What does she really
right.
mean? She means to guard it for you.
Right.
For her. Yeah. Don't just keep it like any or where. When your grandmother gives you the family heirloom, she said, keep this for me because it's a family treasure. She don't mean just keep it like you keep everything else you keep.
Take care of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Shahuda and Katrell, the onus is not particularly just because it's talking in regards to a female. This applies to males also. You got some old Jezebel brothers out there that do the very same thing. So the onus is just not on the females. Their own responsibility lies with all of us. Because you got
yeah.
some brothers send sisters out. Just like some sisters are sending some brothers out. So the onus is just not on women. It's on all of us.
Well, with this particular proverb points out to young men, naive
mm-hmm.
men, that there's two forces out there, two feminine forces,
mm-hmm.
wisdom and understanding, who call upon you, who is counseled to call her your sister, and understanding, her, your intimate friend. And then there's
right.
that other female force. If you're naive, she's there to kill you, to take your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're naive enough to follow into her and she allures you as her pet, it's like that story used to read, the spider and the fly.
Yes,
mm-hmm. right? Come into my parlor, said the spider and the fly.
Well, you do
yeah.
got country. You,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so you got some women out there.
Mm-hmm.
That are doing exactly what this proverb says. You got them out there twerking. They ain't working. You got them out there giving away the goodies when they shouldn't be giving away the goodies. It's supposed to be somebody else's goodies. And got seducing people instead of turning them on to the word of Yah. The different spirit which turns you on to Yah. It makes you the woman of Proverbs chapter 31 than this Jezebel type right here.
Mm-hmm. Correct. I'm going to read 13 because it goes into the latter part of 13. I'm going to read that again. And she took hold of him and kissed him. She hardened her face and said to him, peace offerings are with me. Today I have paid my vow. Therefore, I came out to meet you. Earnestly seek your face, and I found you. I have
coming out. I want the world to know. Got to let it show.
Coming.
Coming out.
Oh, listen to this. I have spread my bed with colored linens of Egypt or Mithraim. I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh, olive, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Like you said, it'd be twofold. Don't Babylon entice Israel?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
How can you resist?
Right.
The woman got skills. Personal note, a personal note, and on a universal note, far as nations are concerned, they got skills. They have seduced us. They've made them want to join the Black Lives Matter, Democratic Party, Republican Party. They even let us lead the gay parades. They got skills. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're like the insect community, like the praying mantis. You know, the female praying mantis is bigger than the male, right? And when he want to mate with her, he got to be careful because she'll take his head off
after he
finished mating.
Well,
it's like the black little spider. After she finished mating with her mean, he becomes dinner before her.
Well, I guess it's like that song, Katya and Sister, you flip it, flub it, rub it on down.
I have sprinkled, 17, I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh, I think it's olives, and cinnamon.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Come.
That's that me and Mrs. Jones stuff.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's that me and Mrs. Jones stuff right there.
Yeah. Come. Let us take our fill of love until morning.
Mm-hmm.
Let us delight ourselves with love.
That ain't love. That's sex.
For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of silver with him. He comes home on the day of the new moon. With her many words, she leads him astray. With her smooth lips, she seduces him. He goes after her immediately. Like an ox, he goes to the slaughter. And as in chains, a fool to the punishment. Till an arrow strikes through his liver, like a bird rushing into a snare. And did not know it would take his life. And now, listen to me, you children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not go astray in her path. For many are the wounded she has caused to fall, and numerous all her slain ones. Her house is the way to the grave, going down to the rooms of death.
She's in the next room, making plans to see him real soon. Talking quietly on the telephone. Gonna get you in the she-hole.
That is deep.
That woman is poison. Never trust a bloodless man.
Poison. Y'all think y'all gonna get back? Y'all done told y'all through wisdom, this ain't nothing to play with. I know this Western Hemisphere says anything, any way your boat floats, do whatever you do, it's your thing. You can do whatever you want to do. Y'all said there's consequences.
I can tell you who the pocket is.
It's your thing.
Yep.
But it's supposed to be a husband thing, but I guess it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess R. Kelly found off the hard way. Summer bunny got me crazy. Summer bunny got me crazy.
A little bump and grind. That what he said? Yeah, he grinding.
That was
time.
Wrong.
Yeah, he grinding time.
Something was wrong with a little bump and grind.
It's consequences and repercussions. You know, you think you
just
can't
see it.
Yeah.
He said he couldn't see it. I don't see nothing wrong. Somebody should have told you it was wrong.
Yeah.
With a little bump and grind. Yo, yeah. It's wrong, huh? I don't
not
see
why.
Nothing wrong.
Not
yeah.
But, what?
Well, we're laughing about it, but it's something serious. Because this Western Hemisphere, this nation has told us, it's your thing. You can do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to sock it to. You can give it to anybody you want to give it to you. There ain't no consequences or repercussions. And say, on the other token, as far as nations are concerned, we're hoeing after other nations. We're running after other nations. We've allowed this
Babylon
to seduce us. Right. We've allowed her to seduce us. And,
but
No,
and how many people has she destroyed? How many people have Babylon destroyed?
Many. Many people have
destroyed.
Many.
The earth is in ruin because of Babylon.
So listen to this, though. It's history. We have been swayed by so many nations. And we have also, our ancestors have tingled in the scale. We have totally just, what you know, just imagine, could you imagine you coming out of Mithra now, out of Egypt, and you hear all this clapping and thundering and all this stuff going on, and you still going to make a cast?
Mm-hmm.
And you still going to defy and say, oh, I want a human king. But you see the wonders. And the problem is because people treat this as a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Not. It is not.
Mm-mm.
It's our history book. It talks about what we, our ancestors did back then, what the kings did, and prophecies and what's happening now.
Exactly.
Which means it has a high level of spirituality, which people misunderstand and misconstrue as religion.
Thank
because
you.
There's consequences to your actions in life, and they're on a spiritual level, such as verse 22. Because suddenly he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter. So if you follow the false negative female vibe, whether it be Babylon or somebody's wife, you're like an ox that goes to the slaughter. And it seems like her husband walked in the door. As one walks in the ankle bracelet, she's a discipline of a fool. Because here come her husband until that arrow pisses through his liver. She thought he was coming home like 5 days. He's home an hour later. After she done told you, he's coming home when the new moon comes. He came home to surprise her, come to find out, look what you're doing. Now a silver arrow passes through his liver as a bird hurries out at the snare. So he does not know that it will cost him his life. He ain't said her life. And she's been doing this. Why she ain't getting a punishment? Oh, her punishment is coming, but he getting it first.
Right. Well, you know, we saw this often in this Western Hemisphere. We've heard about it. We know friends or family or someone that has been caught up in that situation. And then we like I said yesterday, why did the guy don't focus on the female first? Because he said you should have knew better. So there's consequences and repercussions for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't get a free pass. As in the case, this young brother, he didn't get a free pass. So you got to be careful of the women that you have in your life. Have constructive and positive women in your life. Women that are led by the Most High. Women that are led
yes.
to go by the codification of the Most High. Because those women are following wisdom and understanding. Those other women that want to twerk it and work it, not so much. Okay.
But you know what happens? We go from, not we, but we're exposed from one extreme to another, and I explain what I mean. When I observe the women, some that have converted to be in Islam, and you know, there's different levels of Islam, and the way they dress, personally, I really don't have a problem with it. But I do, on just opinion, a lot of their dressing is so restricted. Yet, when you flip on the other side, you got sisters out here. Might as well not wear any clothes, because you got just little garments. So, you know, dress modestly. And men like women that dress modest, dress decent. And that shows her true beauty. Like, I was reading, believe it or not, on You Call Food's book, and this young man said that women that are down to earth, don't wear a whole lot of makeup, but take care of themselves, this and that, he said they're winning. The women that wear piles of makeup and hardly wear no clothes, they're losing, even though they're still around. And I thought about that. He's a young man saying these things. So I'm thinking things are starting to turn around a little bit. Just giving some kind of hope.
Right.
People are now stepping out and saying, you know, I'm not taking this anymore. Some of us are just saying, I'd rather be by myself.
Right.
Not to say I don't need a man. They don't have that kind of attitude. They're just saying, I don't need these issues that he can't seem to come to the realization he is a man, he needs to act like one,
exactly.
And I'm not his mother, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they just say, well, I'd rather just be by myself.
Yeah. Understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because a lot of these brothers, they act more like women.
That's another thing.
Yeah. But I tell women, and I caution women on their dress code, too. I said, you had to have some discretion and prudence. I said, because, mm-hmm. and they wonder, what are you talking about, young Sue? I said, you know, if guys coming at you like you're a whore, consider your dress appearance. If you dress like a hoe, they don't come at you like a hoe. And I break it down for them like this, lowest common denominator. If I keep running up to a guy that's dressed in a fireman uniform, obviously I think he's a fireman. So if he stops, and he said, well, you run up to me. I'm not a fireman. For what the hell are you in a fireman uniform for? I need my fire put out. Well, I'm not a fireman. Don't dress like a fireman. Okay? And that's why I try to tell sisters, if guys going to come at you anyway. It's just the way it is. It's the nature of the
mm-hmm.
beast. But don't
get qualification.
Right.
I'm fine.
Go, I'm sorry, bro.
The Most High tells us, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Or anything that is our neighbors. And we know that women appeal to men by how they look, especially,
mm-hmm.
right.
you know, how they're forming, how, you know, that's the appeal to a man.
Right.
If you're dressing like a prostitute, that takes it to another level. If you're dressed
right.
modestly, men respect your femininity. They know
mm-hmm.
that you're of a higher class, that you're
mm-hmm.
wife material, that you're mother
right.
material. That you're not out there trying to appeal or catch the eye of every man. Because if you're walking out there butt naked, every man is going to look at you.
It's just
you got shelf stuff and Daisy Dukes and your chest is hanging out.
Right.
Men are going to look at you.
Right.
And a lot of men are going to say something to you. And women who
right.
dress like that, expect men not to say anything when you're showing your private parts. You're leaving nothing to the imagination. I wouldn't let my wife come out like that. No.
Mm-hmm.
A man wants a wife, his wife. If you accept a woman that dressed like that, you marry her, and you
mm-hmm.
don't say nothing to her in the beginning, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
You're going to be filled with rage and jealousy every day because men are going to be looking at your Daisy Duke walking around wife.
Exactly.
This is how sick a part of our society, I mean us, I'm not talking about any other group nation. It would behoove me when I used to teach years ago, the young sisters, you know, especially the ones that didn't have one child.
Right.
Certain things, and we covered about the way you dress. Now, how can you expect to get respect or find a good man when you showing all your goodies and that's all they want? You enticing them, because it's been noted that a man will drop you and marry a woman that be in his corner. You get upset because you feel you gave him everything. Well, you gave him most precious things up your body. You got to wait on that. And because the whole program was about, just because you have a child, you made the mistake of laying with a man without protection, but life isn't over. You still can have a full life, you know. It's just going to take more time. And then we had a class on why dress provocative and not expect these men not to say anything. Then y'all go to the extreme. No, you don't have to dress like somebody in the 1950s. By the way, you should, because a lot of them had class. And
right.
And they dressed light. And
right.
Their skirts hit right to the knee. I remember my grandmother said, if your arms are longer than your skirt's too short.
Right.
The skirt should be longer than your arms.
Well, see,
and there's something, too, that feminine power. Back in the 50s, when women wore dress, they had a feminine essence about them. They had their little handkerchief. They had their purse. And they smelled so lovely. Like, you know, you smell so sweet. It should have been some perfume.
Oh, I like temptation. You should have been some perfume.
Oh, yeah.
But let me caution the young sisters out there, and even some of our elder sisters. When guys see you dressing so provocatively, here's what they think. Either you have some security complex and you crave attention. And that's what you want to do, crave attention. You want to be provocative. That's how guys see you. If you put it out like that, there's only two ways a guy see you. You need some attention, or you crave attention. One of the two.
Like, or you're not being served, and you're looking to get served.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, if you got a husband at home, you're not being served, so you want to be served. Then there's an added different dimensional and dynamic to the situation. And then sooner or later, as I said, young sisters, and some of you old sisters too. I said this, and I make this statement, I make without any reservation and a hesitation. If you go to a barbershop or a beauty shop, and you go in there just because your friend going there, keep going there. Keep going where you're going. Sooner or later, you're going to get your hair fixed or your hair cut. Keep it up.
I mentioned to both of you that when I used to work at the bar, I didn't comply with the establishment, you know, when girls had to wear, or young women had to wear leotards or something provocative.
Right.
I never played into it. Fire me. Nope. You know.
Right.
But I would dress like just about sometimes fashionable, like if I'm going to an office almost. And I got a lot of compliments from male and female, because I didn't go with the flow, even though I worked in a bar, because in itself a bar isn't bad. It's the clientele that comes in there.
Exactly.
And alcohol
is conducive to let people say doing things you shouldn't say or do.
Because I used to take classes and we had seminars that people are different. Some people are. Well, people are different when they start drinking.
Right.
And you have to have the mindset. Because I remember some of the weekends, people want to buy me drinks. And I had to figure out a way. Well, I'm telling it, so what, that happened in the past. I would maneuver those drinks. I couldn't be drinking all that. I'd be walking sideways.
Right.
But I never dressed provocative.
Right.
You know, because it didn't make sense to me. It's a contradictory. Here I was holding classes, and then I worked until I was like 7 months pregnant with Nicole, and that was in 1982.
Right.
And I wore the nicest because I was working. Maternity clothes got a lot of compliments.
Right.
Because I think a woman, when she's pregnant.
They had to knock you off pregnant at all with the maternity clothes. Brothers like that get a little alcohol in them. They don't care what you look like. And when I hear sisters say, well, this the way I dress, it don't matter. Everything matters.
It does.
Everything matters.
But the truth is, I didn't just get compliments from there because I know about the drinking. I already said that.
Sister Yehuda, I don't know how you got compliments looking like the girls on Little House of the Prairie. I don't know how you got compliments like that.
Oh, I should show y'all some pictures. I was tired. You hear me?
Sister Yehuda, she grew up in our generation.
Yeah.
In our generation, we had romance. We wasn't telling the girls to pull down their pants like they do now.
Right. I kept myself up because I looked plain when I had my first child. My second child, I mean, I bought the nicest, so complimentary, loose-fitting maternity clothes, kept my hair up, wore makeup that was hyper-energetic and things like that, and I kept eating fruit. I had cravings for fruit with her. And even when I'm out and about, because that's what I had to symbolize what I was teaching. I couldn't be contradictory. I had to be the example. Because remember I said children don't sometimes listen to what you say, but they look at what you do.
Exactly.
So that's where the young ladies that would see me see the example. And some changed. Some didn't, but some changed. See, you never know that. The impressions that we have on people, male or female, it's the way we carry ourselves. And it's not prim and proper. It's just being, like the old saying we call it, down to earth. Just like I've talked to people, every other word is cussing, and I just don't pay no attention, but I understand what they're saying. And I find some of them kind of decrease their cussing when they confront and talk to me from time to time. This is through the years. So you can do a lot of things in this life, but you don't have to compromise on your dress. You don't have to compromise on your character. See, that's what we need to get through our heads. We don't have to compromise.
Well, here's the
problem. I wore the minis and the maxi skirts and the go-go boots and all that and the big froze, you know, looking like Angela Davis, you know what I mean? Dancing. If I go out with the girls and stuff, we all hang out.
It wasn't nothing wrong with the midi and the maxi.
I'm just saying, that was a good time. And my fro was split in the middle because, you know, you sweat so much you be dancing. I feel like dancing. Those were some good times.
It was some good times. I was telling, I had the stacks. I had the bell bottom, and I had the Wild Wild West coat. I thought I was fly. You couldn't tell jumpsuit nothing. I was looking like Wild Wild West, you know, the white boy in Wild Wild West, but I was a brother. I was sharp as a tack. You couldn't tell me nothing.
But you know you were right, but maybe you didn't know at the time you were living your history because of you guys were called boy. It made the popular word cowboy, which was erroneously given to the Caucasian men, which our men of color were the first cowboy, taught these Caucasian folks.
Right.
So you was ahead of your time. You tell me because even in the early rap, they were dressing these coats and this, like the Wild Wild West, I think Kumo D and all that.
Yeah.
That's a part of our history. Yeah, you were sharp.
Yeah, I was sharp. Couldn't tell me.
Didn't tell you nothing.
If that was the code that we grew up under, you could not just come out your house or ashy. I look out my window now, people, like, they roll out of bed. They were in their house looking to the store.
That's right.
And the
PJ.
With the bun buns on their head and all that. I'm like, come on. You could never come out your house like that back in the days.
Women didn't come out like that, hair rollers in her head, pajama pants on, and little night shoes on, little bunny rabbits and stuff like that. Women didn't come out like that.
pajama pants get me. It's like you in Walmart in your pajama pants.
And they think that's cute. That's not
cute. Yeah. That's supposed to be in the house, not. Now, I ain't going to lie, I had an emergency. I had on my PJ pants.
Uh-oh, we in trouble.
Yeah,
we got elders going with the young person.
When I see these young men, since I have a son, adopted some sons, and they wear their pants like it's a diaper or something. Even the diapers don't look like that no more. Droopy,
you could not come out your house back in the days like that at all.
And the young men pants now are so tight, man, it's ridiculous. We wore tight Silk Shark suits and stuff like that. You know, coming out the late 60s. But they had some looseness to them. But these guys, man, not like the suits we wore back in is. Six Shark suits back in the late 60s and whatnot. And it's definitely not the suits I wore in the 70s. You know, they too tight for me. I couldn't wear them.
And our parents dressed better than we did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No
and
doubt.
A lot of, you know, my daughter said she wished she could have lived in the 50s because she observed that, she said, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I said, yes, because a lot of the styles today, they mix them up from the 80s, 90s, 50s, like they do with furniture. So, and you can't always investigate who makes these clothes. I would say it's somebody that's a homosexual, this and that. I said, but really, if you do the research, more of us, believe it or not, you guys know, seamstress, male and female, invented a lot of things in the clothing industry. Even though we didn't have the big bucks and the mafia had taken control of so many things. But we had an input in the style of clothing that is not mentioned, that you'd be surprised. And the whole world followed it. Hats, for example, and rappings was us, the sisters. They even passed a law in Louisiana that a woman had to wrap her hair because being a mulatto, African, and then they were whores, high society whores, and they were taking business away from the white woman. Because, you know, this country is based on the white woman's virtue. Like Emmett Till got murdered. But anywho, but the women, because we're so creative, we styled it. And it didn't change the attractiveness. As a matter of fact, it enhanced us. That's why a woman of color, a sister, can wrap her hair the way she do it with style and it could be part of a wardrobe. But a lot of them today, like Patrielle said, I don't know what to deal with these type of, I don't know what they got on their head. Now it should be at home. It looks like a shower cap.
Yeah.
And they wear it on the street. And if you know your heritage, you didn't walk out like, and a lot of sisters didn't have a large wardrobe, but they interchanged and they kept it up because it was somebody there that helped them, some sister, some mama, some grandmama, some auntie, that helped you to navigate how to be a woman in this country. And we're losing it. You were taught femininity before all these Caucasian people came along and did that. We knew who we were and are. We knew we weren't in competition with no men. We knew. And we weren't.
You have to be.
Huh?
Women didn't have to be in competition with the men.
Right.
We were working together back in those days, sisters
right.
and brothers, because we were all under duress. And
yeah.
That feminine principle was there. A young lady had to learn how to sit. You got to
mm-hmm.
sit like a young lady. You can't sit like a guy.
Yeah.
Right? That was a constant admonition. Sit like a lady. Right?
Right.
Now.
Feminism didn't help our women either because they told them they can get into a relationship and be They don't have to make any changes or accommodations. That's a lie. No man, no woman. That's why Israelite men and women, they live together for a year to get to know about the accommodation process. And for a man or woman to say to either one of them, I'm not going to bring in any change. You got to take me as I. No, that ain't the way it works. You know, that's not the way it works.
Basically, I'm partial on opinion and fact. Bring out fact, and sometimes surrounded by opinion and experience. We had our own, this is what I'm saying, from my interpretation, I could be wrong, experiences, we had our own feminine. It was totally different from any other nation. Each nation had their own little trials, tribulations, and revealing, et cetera, and so forth. Our femininity was our spunk, our taking charge of things. We were down with our man. I mean, it was no doubt. We was with our husband.
Right.
And we helped fight their battles. And it was never like saying, I'm better than you attitude. It was like, I'm here as your partner. Otherwise, the woman had your back.
They don't understand team now, Sister Hootie. That's the problem. A husband and wife is a team. It's not a combative sport. It's not a contentious sport. They've gotten to be combative and contentious when it should be a team. I'm on the team. So whatever the team needs, I got to get a team what's best for the team, not what best I can get out of the team. That's the problem.
That's it. Because we know what could be, and I search out what is. You want to surround yourself with people who have same like belief systems, and your structures are similar. This is how you grow. And as I said, I reiterate, we had our own femininity. I did not pay attention. I mean, I paid attention to listen to these others, these Caucasian sisters, but it didn't affect me because I knew who I was.
Right.
And I knew it was, and I knew a lot of women were, and see, what was so sad about it is they wouldn't even, like Ida B. Wells, they wouldn't even acknowledge her, these selfish movements back in the 1900s. And I'm saying to myself, what is wrong with us? Why would you want to jump? Heck no. Because the woman that had it, she was racist. You know, so we had our own identity. We didn't have to go along with them Caucasian sisters at all.
Mm-hmm.
But we gave, like you said, we keep giving away. Cast the pearls above the line. Come on. We need to keep our jewels.
Yeah, we're crazy as we want to be. That's what it is. Why? Because we're following that negative entity, female entity, and male entity, that which we should be following. Instead of following the construction of the positive entity, which is the woman in Proverbs and the men, that the Most High said how they should comport themselves. We rather emulate the worst in our nation and make that something we should follow in our communities. The gangsters, the drug addicts, the hoes, the boosters, the worst in our communities. That's what we want to emulate. And those negative toxic entities in our communities is just, you just studied on them instead of following wisdom and true wisdom and understanding, which is true femininity and true maleness. Based upon the auspices and the codification of Yah.
That's just like I said, you guys are more of my family. I have family members that I had just found out the state first floor. They're moving. They didn't call me and said, Judy, I found out by looking out the window. I knew that I kept hearing noises for the last week. And I did say, I bet they're moving. But they didn't give me the respect or, you know, as far as families concerned, aunties, we're in the process of moving. That's it. So,
we don't know how to talk to one another, Sister Hootie, unfortunately. We don't know how to talk to one another. And the sad thing about it, we don't even want to talk to either the proper common courtesy matter. No common courtesy.
Yep.
That
I was joking. Go ahead.
That toxic feminine and male entity, which you just spoke about eloquently. Mm-hmm. That's what we like to do.
Mm-hmm. I said I give it in the hands of the Most High, because sometimes I get tired of people in general, in terms of, you got, and then you're true, you got to depend on yourself. Say, I mean, not, I'm not saying self-preservation is the first law, as they say, of nature, even though we know that in the world. It is to take care of you. But the problem we have in our community is we don't go by our word. If I say Monday such and such a thing, and I do it, or I call you Saturday to let you know this is what happened, why I can't come through at this time, that's okay. That's acceptable. Sometimes we can't, and it could be for reasons, legitimate reasons. But overall, we should strive to keep our word. That's how you build up truth. Because when stuff was happening with me and I said, you're my brother, and even though you started this by yourself and you was on for 2 hours, I remember them days, 2 hours. you played a lot of music. And you chunked it down to an hour, that your format is worthy of people who are going to be on a consistent basis.
Exactly.
Because I could not be on, because I had to take care of some personal bit, but I looked after the, not you so much as what was set up in the name of the Most High.
Exactly.
And that's just being honest. And a lot of us, we were raised this, it's just like, some say, well, because the people in the world has gotten cruel. It's not like I'm going to allow somebody to walk over me, but my word is my bond. If I say I'm going to be on every day and then I find out I'm not, I'm going to find somebody that I know is trustworthy to the best of my knowledge. You know, I don't feel, it's like don't leave a man behind kind of attitude.
Exactly.
You know, it's a little different in the military, and I had enough experience with that, being around family members, being in the military, trust me. I feel like I don't fought the Vietnam War. You know, when I talk to veterans, they look at me like, were you there? Because you sure act like, I said, I read.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't leave a man, you don't leave a person in lurch. I know how it feels. When I depended on someone and they swore up and down and they didn't come through, and it messed me up.
Right.
So I made a vow that I'm going to try to be independent, not be mean to the people, but try to be independent. But what happened, the Most High said, uh-oh, I'm in a position like, dang, how come I'm waiting on these folks? Well, maybe for right now, quiet, be still, and meditate to the Most High.
Yeah, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why we got to be careful what we say to one another,
right,
and what vows or oaths we make to one another. Because if you can't complete those vows, you need to go to that person, and, like we read, and get yourself released from that, and not just take for granted. We just do, like I said, Sister Hootie and Contrell and fellow students, we just do any old messy old trash away to each other. We don't have any codifications, and there's codifications left in order to treat one another. But unfortunately, we don't treat each other like Yah said. We ought to treat each other like we're precious, like he sees each of us as precious. So why can't we treat each other in accordance to what Yah says? But we got to do our own thing, and most everything we do is tacky, trashy, and a terroristic, and sometimes all three together, given the circumstances. We have adopted the same formats these people in the Western Hemisphere, especially this daughter of Babylon, has toward us. We've projected that toward each other. We've taken up the mantle, and we treat each other the very same way.
I'll say this, and I'll be people like me, the sisters, excuse me, who are nurturers. I hear Katriel and you sometimes talk about your mother.
Right.
And a high regard you have for your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be tiresome and it could be draining when a woman makes a decision to be nurturing. She has to be taught that, first of all. It's got to be from her life experiences. And as women, we do everything. We just take care of everybody and we deny ourselves. And no, it's not right. It's not right. Yet sometimes we expect people to help pick up the pieces, just assist or acknowledge. We're human beings. And I'm not saying it's a right or wrong thing. This is our nature. And sometimes we don't get that support. And we have to support ourselves, but at the same time, we got to work on communication skills and accept the help. It's like I've explained it before. If I do something for a person, my payback is their enjoyment, not that they're going to do anything for me at all. I can't get angry if I give a person a ride now and then, or I do that because I chose to do it. See what I'm saying? So I'm not going to look for someone to pay me back. It don't work that way.
Right.
What you look for is the respect or the gratitude. Let's put it like that. I appreciate, like you do sometimes, I appreciate you, Katya. I appreciate you, Sister Yahudi. Let people know you appreciate their worth, no matter who they are, especially when you communicate with them. And I had my situations open my eyes to recognize that ain't that many people really care. I'm going to start caring about myself and loving the Most High more so, because we all had letdowns. From a woman's point of view, someone's listening can identify, you know, we're ripping and running, taking care of the children, we're taking care of, you know, I took care of my mom. I took care, went to school and working and doing this and ripping and running, going out of town and, before, you know, all day just, whew. This is what we do as women. This is what we do as women. And we need to pat ourselves on the back and we need to look at ourselves and say, well done. And love ourselves. Even though people around us could be your husband, who don't appreciate you, and it's very difficult because we need that human contact. Remember, people, we need to learn to be kinder to one another. You never know. People could be happy. There's so many people committed suicide. You wouldn't know. I didn't see it. You're not going to see it. Like Robin Williams, nobody saw that coming. Maybe some super, super close friends.
Right.
That's why we should pray for one another and be patient with one another, because we're not going to tell everything about ourselves. We should be compassionate that person may be going through something. Hallelujah. Shalom. I'm done.
Do you have any closing remarks, Sister?
That's it.
All right.
I'm looking
Thank
at the chat. See, Yamsu, you don't realize I'll be looking at the time, too.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you, Sister.
I need to be your producer again. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. And I do appreciate what you do. Hallelujah. Kadriel, may Most High bless you, brother. What is your closing remarks?
Most High bless you as well, Sister Judy as well. I'm just vibing, okay. Meditating on the proverb that we read today, because it shows a feminist side that's in force, that's in creation, that we need to pay attention to. And I say there's two houses, the house of Jacob and the house of Babylon. And we've been seduced by the house of Babylon. We should be living by the codifications of the house of Jacob. So now that we're in the house of Babylon, as we've read, this is the house of harlotry. And what happens when you go into the house of harlotry, you're setting yourself up for the slaughter. So we better figure out a way to get out of this house of this harlot, Babylon, and get rid of the ways that we've adapted here and pick up the codification so that we can go back home to the house of Jacob, because you can't go back to the house of Jacob with the codifications of Babylon. So the Most High has given us an escape, the back door. In this particular portion, there's no escape. She says that she brings this person, this naive person, into the slaughter. And it's going to cost him his life. And the Most High said, I put you in this situation, and I'm going to tell you to choose life or death. So coming out of Babylon's house, we have to choose life, because it will cost us our life if we choose her ways. And for the most part, we've chosen her ways. And we don't seek the other feminine side, which is the nurturing side, wisdom and understanding. And that is where our salvation really lies. Because if we stay with the ways of the harlot Babylon, it means that it's going to cost us our life. Because these are ancestors speaking to us. It's Yah speaking to us and wisdom. Now, therefore, my son, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. So Babylon got words too, like the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, You Free, Voting Rights Acts. Yeah, they got words too. And Yah got words. Yah said pay attention to his words. Wisdom say pay attention to her words. Do not let your heart, because words can turn your heart the wrong way. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. And all that we've spoken on, the ails of our people, is because we have turned aside to the ways of the harlot Babylon. Do not stray into her path. This is what we've done. For many other victims, which we are, she has brought to ruin. And that's where we sit, in ruin. Mm-hmm. And numerous are all those slaughtered by her. And we see ourselves being slaughtered every day and wondering why we can't stop it. Our house is the way of Sheol. That's where Babylon is going. Because we read that in Isaiah 14, descending into the chambers of death. So it ain't just a message to your children. It's a message to all of us. Which ways do we choose? Do we choose the nurturing side of the feminine, wisdom and understanding? Or do we choose the harlot side? Who's seductive, who's bed, whose sheep comes from Egypt, and she got flowers and perfume and cinnamon and aloes, and her husband is not here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you choose?
Mm-hmm.
Praise
God. Because Jesus said, he's supposed to be coming back.
Mm.
That's a miracle, son.
That's a miracle. Mm. All right. Thank you, Katria. Praise God. I simply want to pose questions to the students. Now, if you a male, would you choose a whorish wife as a wife? If you're a female, would you choose a whorish man as a husband? The second question, the most important one, based upon your answer, do you expect the Most High to choose us as whores, men and women, as his nation? All the accrements, attributions of loving another nation over the Most High, the Almighty, Creator? I don't think so. That being said, fellow students, may the Most High bless you. We offer you some parting gifts. We can't give them to you personally, but we send you in the right direction. We ask you tonight as you go down and lie down in prayer and meditation that you go to the Most High and ask him for a new heart, asking for a new spirit so you can be that female entity, that male entity that the Most High would have you be. He's not going to take care of the whore. He don't have to take care of one. So you'll know what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. That new spirit would help facilitate a humbleness, a contriteness. Not just sorry that you got caught. You're sorry because it's wrong. You want to make it right. And you're humble toward one another. You have common courtesy and regard high esteem for one another. And also a new heart, which is reflective of King David. You see, the Most High said King David is a man after my own heart. What does that mean? What should it mean? That King David had an understanding of how the relationship should be between him and the Most High, just like you. Which one? King David loved the Most High with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he loved his brothers and sisters, who were his subjects, and he loved himself. Which should suggest that you, King David, loved what he looked like in the mirror, and anything that remotely looked like him. But if you hate what you look like in the mirror, and anything that virtually remotely looks like you, it is virtually impossible to love your brothers and sisters. Learn to love yourself. Stop being the nigga they say you are. Stop being the walking dead zombie that they said you are. Be the man and woman that the Most High said that you are. You are precious. And your brothers and sisters are too. And thirst after righteousness. Meaning, you can't quit because you don't want to quit. No matter what happens. Because you thirst after the truth. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night. Katriel, Sister Hootie, would you like to say good night or shalom to the people?
Good night.
Good night, Sam. Most High bless us.
We love y'all. Shalom.
Love y'all.
Get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. I say you just thank the Lord. You just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors and board them. There's hope for all. Among those loved the most, you know they've been loved the most. They've been loved the most. There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who would hurt all mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner, for there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. You know there's no hiding place. There's no hiding place. So people get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. I say you just thank the Lord. You just thank the Lord. That's why I'm here to say that I believe. I believe. We're gonna make it one day. Brothers, I believe. I believe. I believe. I truly, truly